CliffCentral.com.
All right, let's get going. Are you up? Are you ready to take on the day? Are you full of all the information you need to be able to face the day properly and also to have those conversations with people you may or may not really like at work? What I'm talking about is, stuff happens every day and there's so much news, and who could be bothered? Who could be asked to catch up with everything? Well, the one thing that we can guarantee you is once a week on a Thursday morning, you get to hear from Justice Malala in the Burning Platform, brought to you by Nando's. This is where we break down all the difficult concepts, we talk about all the ridiculous things that politicians are up to, and occasionally we also get into some very big news stories like the collusion of the banks. Let's find out from Justice Malala, who's on the line live from Durban this morning. Good morning, Justice.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good, good. Justice, can we start with the banks? Anthea has already touched on this. She said she thinks it's illegal behavior, but you wanted to talk about this too. What do you make of all of this?
No, I think it's a great story. I think it's a great reveal by the Competition Commission. And I think that if the banks did do it, and we'll hear from them when this case goes to the tribunal now, and that's what the commissioner said, that let's give them the chance to respond. And when they do go back, there are 18 banks. Three of them are local. So there's Standard, APSA, and I think Investec. Mm-hmm. Those three banks will respond, plus the other international banks. But for me, I'm interested in the political implications of this story. You might have noticed immediately afterwards there was a lot of jumping up and down and happiness from the likes of Jimmy Manyu, who is a well-known praise singer and supporter of the Gupta family, saying, what's the Reserve Bank been doing? It's supposed to protect the rand, and it didn't do it in the case of these banks, and so forth and so forth. So I think this story is going to become a big political potato. It's going to be something that the Gupta family and others are going to use as, well, you come after us and say, we've got dodgy transactions. Why didn't you use this? Why didn't you stop it? You terrible, terrible banks, you are white monopoly capital, and so forth and so forth.
Right.
And I think for financial institutions, for the banks, this year will be defined by that. We've seen the campaign around APSA, which we've spoken about before on the show, the Bancorp deal that was a live boat for APSA or Bancorp in the late 80s, early 90s, when it nearly collapsed. And that was monies loaned to the bank by government or the Reserve Bank. And that has been steadily gaining steam. And so I think this story and how the banks behaved, it's not just going to be how bad the banks have been. And it, from all it looks like and what the Reserve Bank says, saying it views it in a very serious light, it looks as if they did essentially take part in some seriously uncouth illegal behavior, and they should be punished. But how it's going to play out in the public space and the political space is that it's given a fantastic tool for many who've been calling for action against the banks to go for it. You'll remember that President Jacob Zuma has tried to have some sort of inquiry into the banks. You'll remember that last year, Museveni Zwane, who many people will wonder whether works for the Gupta family or for the South African people, issued a statement off his own bat saying that cabinet had resolved to institute an inquiry into the banks.
Which is strange, because he's not the Minister of Finance. He's the Minister of Mineral and Energy Affairs. Very strange.
Exactly. On top of that, he was supposedly in an interministerial committee which never sat, which was supposed to have the finance minister on it, which the finance minister never attended a single meeting. And there he goes and issues a statement. But even more curious was the fact that cabinet then issued a statement saying, we never discussed this. We never mandated this gentleman to issue a statement on our behalf. And so the question came about, why did he do it? Whose behalf was he doing it on? President Zuma said in parliament that, oh, I'm going to deal with him. But to this day, we don't know what exactly President Zuma means when he says he will deal with something. Certainly, Museveni Zwane seems to be very secure in cabinet. And the fact that so many think that he was appointed by the Gupta family rather than by the president seems to give him that confidence. So there's been action looming around the banks. And I think this, and I'm not saying what the Competition Commission has found is not untrue or is not verifiable. I think that the Competition Commission is one of those institutions that work in South Africa. But I think that it's going to be used in a very interesting fashion by many who want or who have sought to draw a moral equivalence, if you will, between what one family does and what the banks do. Wow. And so you're going to see a lot of that paid fake Twitter going into paroxysms of of outrage suddenly, wanting to see action and saying, but you know, you can't act on the Guptas if you don't act against these guys. My question always is, let's act against all of them.
I agree. The ordinary people of this country don't need to be held ransom by a cartel of banks. And no. We also don't need to be held ransom by one very greedy family of people.
Exactly. I mean, I think the one thing that mustn't be lost, and this year is going to be a long one with this tribunal hearings that will come up, is that again and again, we're going to see that element that, oh, this is the same Reserve Bank that stopped that didn't say anything when the Gupta accounts were stopped.
Yeah.
But now didn't act against these banks. They are terrible and terrible. Open the Gupta bank accounts. If the Gupta bank accounts need to be reopened, sure, go ahead and do it. But let's not say because they did something wrong on the banks, then they mustn't act right on the other thing. That's all I'm saying. But it's going to be political. And this goes straight up to Jacob Zuma and others who have played around with wanting to control the banks. So an interesting year ahead, I think, for financial services in general. It's going to come back and back. And I think APSA in particular is going to see more of those ANC youth league.
I want us to move on because we don't have a lot of time this morning. And I do need to know, yesterday IPED were in Parliament. That's Robert McBride and the Independent Police Complaints Directorate. What do you make of what's going on there at the moment, and how does it fit into Commissioner Phahlane? Well, he's now General Phahlane, and what's going on in the police at the moment?
I mean, I think we need to be extremely scared. You know that old adage, and I think we've sort of touched on it in the past about how whatever the law is about, it's about protecting the weak. So we've spoken about the SEDMENI 94, and now it might be SEDMENI 120, 100 and however many. The law is there to protect those most vulnerable people in our society. When it comes to the law, it must protect me and you, and you and I are lovely, fine guys, as Ben can attest, and as Mavale can attest, we are lovely people. But there are also some nasty people in the world.
Mm.
But the law must protect them as well. Now, you know, many people know Paul O'Sullivan as being abrasive. He might be this, he might be that. He rubs people up the wrong way, and so forth and so forth. But even in his case, the law must be respected. If you have, for example, someone like this pedophile pervert who was sentenced the other day to more than 100 years plus 37 life sentences and so forth. Even he, throughout the justice system, we treated him as an innocent man until he was found guilty. So in the case of Paul O'Sullivan, he approached the court and said, I think the acting police commissioner is trying to arrest me and arrest me legally. Will you issue a court order saying that if he wants to arrest me, he must send me a summons and ask me to present myself? He mustn't come to my house and just arrest me and, you know, no one knows who I am and so forth and so forth.
Yeah.
And the High Court said, you know what, under the circumstances, we agree. There seems to be something nefarious going on. So we give you that court order, and the police have it too, that you can't arrest this man. You've got to give him 48-hour notice. What do they do? On Monday evening, they go to AfriForum's offices. Now, you know, you might have many views on AfriForum and what they do and so forth and who they represent. But the law is the law, and the law says, do not arrest this man.
Right.
Don't do it. So they break the law. The police break the law. They arrest him. They take him to a police station in Pretoria, where it seems as if they operate from, Camille Dreft Police Station.
Mm-hmm.
And his lawyers arrive and try to get him out, and you have a midnight release of the man because the courts are, many people don't know this, that if you get arrested, there is always a magistrate who can hear your bail application immediately. But many of us just sit there at the mercy of the police and don't enforce our rights when we do get arrested. Anyway, the point I'm making is this. We need to be very careful when we have the police acting in a manner that breaks the law and wantonly do so. What is really going on? I think our police services, I think that acting police commissioner Pahlane, who has been investigated by the Hawks, by the IPED, I mean, and IPED investigates corrupt cops or allegedly corrupt cops.
Mm-hmm.
I think that he's scared. He's scared, and he has called on the very worst of the people inside the Hawks. And I refer here to a General Ndebo John Mabula, who was the man who arrested Gerinel, who was the man who arrested Boyson, that KwaZulu-Natal cop who had also been investigating some nasty activities within the police. And when he did those arrests, they were thrown out of court. He was brought out from the Northwest to come in and arrest Paul O'Sullivan's lawyer last Friday. And Paul O'Sullivan's lawyer was denied a phone, was denied access for the whole weekend, and was kept somewhere where she didn't know where she was, where her relatives were. They didn't know where she was. This is all very bad. It means that becoming a police state where people get away with just wantonly breaking the law. But it's not just people getting away with that. It's the police themselves under the leadership of acting police commissioner Pahlane doing this. And it's no good. I have to tell you, I've been impressed with Pahlane since he became acting police commissioner. I thought this guy is career professional, he's doing and saying the right things. But his behavior, when questions have been asked about him and his activities, have been very questionable. This is a man who has four cars on a salary that doesn't seem to be able to stretch to having a Range Rover, a Land Rover, whatever the other cars are, whose house costs 8 million rand, who's paid off 4.4 million rand off that house in just 3 years. And the question is, where does the money come from? And why is he being so sensitive about just saying, oh, you know, my shares came through. I listened to Anthea Cartesian in the morning, and I follow the investment tips that come through. That's what I would do. That's what any person would do. But
right.
He seems to have called in the heavies, and they're going for it. And that is very unfortunate. So we need to be careful about this. But what it says about the security cluster, if you think about it, Hawks and Tlemeza's appointment is under challenge. Now Pahlane's appointment is being challenged. The police minister himself has been under a cloud, many people asking if this is the right man to be police minister and whose side is on exactly. You think about what's happened in the past around our intelligence services, the army being deployed and so forth. We should be very careful about these law enforcement agencies, about the security cluster. I think that there are big problems there. And it would be very unfortunate if we saw another police commissioner follow in the way of Chekisi Lebi and go off to jail, or follow in the way of Ria Pierre and be suspended for years and years and years.
All right, two other things quickly that I want to hit on. First of all, the gift that keeps on giving. The EFF have taken Zuma to the Concorde again, and Julius is preparing for 2019. What do you see happening here?
Well, you know, President Zuma went to the State of the Nation address, gave a huge opportunity for the EFF to ridicule him, to show him up, and to ultimately give the nation a one-hour show of ridiculousness. And who came out looking a bit worse for wear after that? It's Jacob Zuma. Jacob Zuma's presence will continue to be an embarrassment for the ANC. The EFF will continue to take him on, point out his troubles and so forth and so forth. Same thing with the DA, same thing with COPE and other opposition parties. Now, after he's paid back the money, the EFF says the Constitutional Court must declare on what must happen to him, because he was found to have failed to uphold and protect the Constitution, failed his oath of office, failed to uphold his oath of office. And so the EFF says, we are taking you back to court. He must be quaking in his boots, because the last time the Constitutional Court ruled on the matter, you remember that Mokgweng came into his own and was scathing about the president's behavior around Nkandla and parliament's behavior around Nkandla. Mm. So expect to see the Constitutional Court possibly deliberating, or when it delivers its judgment, Julius Malema arriving with 10,000 EFF members at the Constitutional Court and milking it for the maximum. And that will put, once again, the spotlight on Jacob Zuma. It puts him in a position where the ANC has to look at him, his members have to look at him, his supporters have to look at him and say, ish, did we make the right decision here? And when you think back to the Constitutional Court decision last year, you have to say, what impact did it have on the ANC's performance in the local government election? And so, in many ways, this is the EFF saying, we know the ANC's weak spot, and that weak spot is Jacob Zuma, and we're just going to keep on scratching and gnawing at it until this resolution. So for the next year, I think expect Jacob Zuma to be center stage. And if the ANC doesn't realize that this is eating away at its support for 2019, I don't know what else they realize.
Okay, well, we realize it. I don't know if they do. So we're going to have budget day next week, and Praveen's going to stand up and he's going to tell us we're going to be taxed more. That's what everybody's saying.
Yeah.
If they're going to tax us more, how are they going to justify that when departments like water and sanitation are bankrupt and have spent money that they didn't have? And not only have done that, but have funded things like Mabala Noise, if we're led to believe so by Julius Malema. So why should we trust our money to people like Nomvula Mokonyane?
This is exactly the point. The crisis is not about, it's not about just where's the money, but it's also where's the money going when it's around. And it's a question of legitimacy. It's a question of who stands up and says, this is what we're going to do with the money. Because a lot of South Africans will stand up and say, well, we like what Pravin is doing. We think he's on the right track and so forth and so forth. But then they'll also say, well, why is it he's under so much pressure from people like Lindiwe Zulu, Nomvula Mokonyane? Remember, these are the people who keep on saying, yeah, Treasury is not giving us the money. to achieve radical economic transformation.
Right.
Now, when you see stories like what the City Press had on Sunday, which showed clearly that that the ministry and the Department of Water Affairs has just botched its budget and just is bankrupt, despite all the denials that they've been trying to put forward. Mm-hmm. This places a big question mark on the legitimacy of the administration itself, and it's going to be very difficult for President Zuma to say, well, I want more money for that ministry when consistently those ministries, particularly that he wants to see more funding for, seem to be the ones that spend wantonly without any nod towards the controls that should be in place. So I think next week, yes, you're absolutely right, we will be taxed a little bit more. There's a big debate about whether all of us will be taxed. I think that there will be some tax on the rich. There may be certainly the sugar taxes and those other sin taxes will come through. But it's whether VAT will go up. And VAT is a tax that is paid by everyone, the rich, the poor, and will hit the poor. And whether the ANC and the president can take a risk of increasing VAT when things are so tough for everyone. But people will also be watching this budget because Pravin Gordhan has been a target of so many attacks by his colleagues in cabinet, attacks by even President Zuma, some say. Questions about, is Treasury standing in the way of implementation of President Zuma's personal plans and so forth. So the big question will be, is this the last budget that Pravin Gordhan will deliver? And is this the last budget that Gravesy Jonas, who famously said that he was offered a job by Jacob Zuma's friends, the Guptas, as a deputy, to move from deputy finance minister to finance minister. There'll also be huge questions being asked about whether President Zuma is being vindictive and wants to get rid of those who have stood against him in cabinet. And Gravesy Jonas certainly threw the cat among the pigeons by confessing or exposing what the Guptas may have tried to do to him. So big questions around what's in the statement, but also big questions about what happens after the statement and all the noise around, will we see a cabinet reshuffle or not? And will we have Dr. Nkosazana Dlamini-Zuma being absorbed into cabinet, and what impact that will have on all these positions? Will we have a new finance minister and a deputy finance minister in the week after? That speculation is high, but President Zuma is the president and he has the prerogative to appoint and disappoint ministers as he wishes.
All right, Justice, thank you so much. By the way, I loved your discussion about Sylvia Lucas's KFC on the Justice Factor.
No, thank you. For our listeners, I mean, personally, I would have bought Nando's because it's such a fantastic, you know, the texture, the peri-peri, personally, that's what I would have done. But, you know, people need to be aware what happens with their taxes and their tax money. Mm-hmm. And way back when Sylvia Lucas became premier, she, in her first 10 weeks in office, she spent, I think, 50,000 rand or 52,000 rand on buying fast food. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't just one outlet, lots of other outlets did it. And she bought from lots of other fast food outlets. And so one of the things one has to always do is to question our own leaders about what exactly are you saying, standing up there lecturing me on 1, 2, 3 as a taxpayer and as a citizen, when you went off on a spending spree buying 50,000 rands worth of
fast food?
Of fast food, and you think that we'll forget. It's been 4 years now since she did that. We haven't forgotten, and we'll never forget. She needs to account, because she still has not accounted for why that happened. It's just not good enough.
All right, Justice, thank you very much for talking to us this morning. We will catch you again next Thursday on The Burning Platform. It's brought to you by Nando's, Justice Malala, our analyst, guest, and sometime comedian, when it comes to telling us what's going on in the news. And there is plenty to laugh about. Don't let it get you down. There's always stuff to laugh about, even if you're annoyed as all hell by the, what did the Vryheidsfront Plus guy call it? The moral compass of the president and his cronies. You used to call me on my cell phone. All right, Drake. Late night when you need my love. I like the way at the beginning of the song he goes, you used to call me on okay, let's get on with it. We got things to get to. There's some news we haven't covered in the Burning Platform with Justice Malala. If you missed any of that, by the way, you can do what everybody does if they miss something. You go to cliffcentral.com, you download the podcast. And by the way, if you have a chance today to introduce someone you like to something new, make it a cliffcentral.com podcast. This is an easy thing to do. You can improve their lives, because what we've discovered in the last couple of months, we've been doing a lot of research with people who listen to us and people who listen to podcasts all over the place. When people start listening to podcasts, they don't go back. In other words, you will stick to podcasts and you will stay on podcasts forever, because they change your life. Way better. I can't tell you the last time I listened to anything else. I don't listen to music anymore. I don't listen to radio. I don't listen to, stuff that people send me. This is what I listen to, podcasts. Some great stuff. We've got an amazing guests coming up in the next few weeks. I'm not going to give away too much, but we've got some big international names that will be part of our interviews. And if you have any suggestions, you know what to do. You can mail us, gareth@cliffcentral.com, or you can send us a message to screen. Okay. To the guy who's responsible for uploading the podcasts, is that you, Lucas? You're doing a cuck job from Nate. Nate is upset that you're taking so long to do the podcast. Renegade Report, apparently our number one podcast this month. They're boasting about it all over social media, too. Some people want to talk about the ISPS Honda World Super 8, Ben.
Super 6.
Super 6, whatever.
Yeah. whatever.
And then Miguel says, 1,000 rand at KFC, you know what that can get you? A heart attack.
And diabetes.
Yeah.
And cellulite.
All of those things. Stick to Nando's. Ashley Glover says, I see Bitcoin is at $1,020 this morning. That is an all-time high. We will check in with Anthea tomorrow morning and find out more about that. If you have something you want to communicate to us, you can do it easy as pie. You can either get hold of us on WeChat. You can message to WhatsApp on 079-748-2090. Okay. Sia's obviously got something he wants to talk about.
I don't need to message this on WhatsApp to get this message conveyed, but this is like major.
Tell us.
This is breaking news.
Oh, okay. Well,
right.
Then you've got to give it due justice. Right.
What category does this fit into?
I think I said breaking news.
You mean that kind of news? I thought you were just going to bring us some celebrity thing. This is breaking news,
huge.
Right? Okay, everybody stand by.
Revolutionary.
What's going on?
Nokia has just announced
they're
relaunching the Nokia 3310.
Nice.
Yes.
You think that's good news?
This is amazing.
Really?
This is huge. You know, it is the most reliable phone ever made.
All right, remind me which one's the 3310.
3310. It's that classic one with that long battery life and with the built-in game Snake. Like, what more do you need in a phone, basically? So the new, the relaunch will be on the 26th of February. Doesn't that just take you back?
All right, so the 3310's coming back. And what did they say about the launch?
The 26th of February, and will retail for about 810 rands and 7 cents.
You know, when it came out, it was much more expensive.
Was it?
I think so,
how much were phones back in the
phones
day?
Phones were expensive, man.
I don't know.
Oh, they were expensive.
They're probably the same price, but obviously back then it felt like a lot more money.
Maybe. I just remember Nokia was the top of the pile for a long time. Yeah, do you remember that?
They were like...
And you could drop that phone and it would still work.
But now,
because it was a brick.
And it was so cool to have like a little pouch that you could clip onto your belt or something just to show it off.
And there's leather pouches with the little holes so that so you could hear the person and, you know, it could transmit the sound. It wouldn't be blocked by the leather. Wow. And now you look at these smartphones and it's all screen.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
But now, see, it's not going to come back as is, right? There's going to be, obviously, modern advances.
Yeah, they'd absolutely have to. But I wonder how they're going to tweak it. They haven't really said a lot about that because they've just revealed this news at the Mobile World Congress in Barcelona.
So here's an interesting thing. Nokia isn't actually building the handset themselves, because what happened was their brand license expired and then Microsoft swooped in there and now owns them. Mm. They made them their bitch. But there's a new Finland-based company, HMD Global Oy. They're the ones that have secured the rights to this phone.
HMD
but
Global?
Nokia are still going to be involved. Oy.
Okay.
Oy.
Oy.
Oy. Oy. I don't know.
I don't get it. It's like saying, well, we're going to bring back the Beatle. Like, we've all moved on. You know, it's like,
classic.
Again, I just can't help but go back to South Park. Like, this whole member berries thing. I remember when cell phones were this. Yeah, but now they're not that anymore. We've moved on. Does any of us need a 3310 in our life? Other than for that one day when you pull it out and go, oh my gosh, that's a 3310. Remember that?
I think, you know what? There's merit in having a phone like this stowed away in your car or something.
For?
Like emergencies. Or you can use it as a burner phone. You know, I'm always ready for like crazy shit to happen. I've got a bag in my car with a change of clothes and a knife and a whole lot of other stuff.
You are from the hood.
No, you got to have that. And you need a burner phone. I mean, what if, you know, you're on the run? What if someone's trying to get you?
How do you fecal a burner phone?
You see, that's the problem.
Yeah.
I don't know. When you buy pay as you go, do you have to fika?
Yeah. Sorry, Jack Bauer, your story's gone.
All right. Well, you know what? I'm sure I can find it from some fly by night.
You know, this is a good week for relaunches, I'd have to say.
Okay. Why?
It was Nokia. Now, a little early in the week, Playboy announced that they bring back nude pictures.
Yeah. So the whole no nudes worked really well for them.
It didn't work, huh?
Nope. Not at all.
Because when people buy Playboy, they buy it for the articles. Do you remember that bullshit?
Well, Cooper Hefner, who's a son of Hugh Hefner, just went on to say, I'll be the first to admit that the way in which the magazine portrayed nudity was dated, but removing it entirely was a mistake. Nudity was never the problem, because nudity isn't a problem. No. Today, we're taking our identity back and reclaiming who we are.
Oh, that's nice.
So the March-April issue is out with full-on nudity again.
But I thought the reason that they cancelled the nudity to begin with was because... in the internet had kind of made them useless.
Yeah.
So
who would want to buy a magazine? Who wants to go into a shop and buy a magazine where you just hop online and get really good quality pictures?
But speaking of the whole nudity thing, it's like they went away from nudes, and Sports Illustrated, they've just released their new 2017 edition.
Mm.
I mean, that's as close to like nude as you can get. Like I don't even try anymore. All the bikinis are basically see-through. All the models, the stuff on YouTube, wow. It started off with like kind of skimpy bikinis. Now it's like obviously body paint, and then it's just the see-through stuff. And they always have these interviews with these pervy photographers always going, oh, you know, it's all about the light, it's all about the location.
Yeah, sure.
Tasteful. Whatever.
Nonsense.
You know, the truth of the matter is I think a lot of these brands are merely just surviving off their legacy. You know, it used to be a big thing, you know, to be a Playboy centerfold, or it used to be a big thing to be the Sports Illustrated cover girl or whatever the case was. But, you know,
who cares about these days?
Your Instagram account could be more relevant than a Playboy.
Than a magazine, yeah.
Exactly.
There's other big news, Sia. You told me this yesterday.
Oh.
This is massive news.
Oh, God.
Tell us what's going on.
How exciting is this? My 70s, 80s self is just like jumping for joy right now.
By the way, Sia did not exist in the 70s and 80s.
Mm-mm.
But my former, you know, before I was reincarnated self.
Who were you in the 70s and 80s if you were reincarnated?
I think I was probably French. Mm-hmm. And I was kind of pervy.
You were probably Serge Gainsborough.
Yes.
Who's he?
You don't know Serge Gainsborough?
Do I need to Google who that is?
No, I'll do it for you. But just tell us the news first, and then I'll tell you who Serge Gainsborough is.
Massive, amazing news. There's a new hot celebrity couple, and it is none other than 76-year-old Tom Jones and 71-year-old Priscilla Presley.
How's that, huh?
Guys.
What do you think of that, everybody?
That's amazing.
That's pretty amazing.
Take that, Kim and Kanye.
So they're a couple, huh?
They're official.
Wow.
They were spotted out and about while Priscilla Presley is still making money off, you guessed it, Elvis Presley.
Of course.
There's a new project or musical or production or the other happening based on Elvis. And who was spotted in the car with Priscilla? The little what's new pussycat guy, Tom Jones.
Oh, were they making out?
No, they were just like, you know, in the back seat being driven around.
Because old people making out is so hot.
Yeah.
You know, I get so turned on.
Priscilla for 71, I have to say, really
She looks amazing.
She does look good.
That woman has never looked bad, ever. She was hot, hot, hot when she was younger. And as an older woman, she's beautiful.
You know, there was an interview she did quite recently, actually, and she revealed like the secrets to her relationship with Elvis. And one of the secrets was that she said Elvis never saw her without makeup.
Yeah.
Ever, ever, ever. Which is.
See, when were you born?
1995.
Yeah. Serge Gainsborough died in 1991.
Oh.
So it's perfect. It's
what if
you
really?
I'm telling you, you were Serge Gainsborough in your previous life. Here is who he is, so you know. Most famous song, and this is definitely who you were. If you came back as Sia, this is who you were. There he is. With Jane Birkin.
So what are the similarities exactly, apart from the French aspect?
A very sensual human being.
As soon as you Google him, you get Serge Gainsborough's 20 most scandalous moments.
That's you. Yep. It's you.
That's me.
No. Actually Mabali's favorite song. You didn't know that until now. So
yeah.
Now, Mabs, it could have been written by Sia in his previous life.
Well, I mean, look at you, Sia, all talented and everything.
He used to write suggestive songs for 18-year-old girls.
Mm-hmm.
He used to record songs in steamy, sweaty vocal booths.
Yes.
Moaning and groaning on record.
Yeah.
Getting banned on radio.
He wrote over 550 songs. And has been covered more than 1,000 times by a wide range of artists. Since his death, his music has reached legendary status in France. He's also gained a cult following in the English-speaking world with numerous artists influenced by his arrangements. How do you like that? So, I mean, well done to you in your previous life. I know you weren't there to see the glory of it, but here we are. I mean,
it was... Very all in a day's work.
Well done, Sia. Well done, Sia.
You mean
well
Serge.
Done, Sia. We're very proud of you.
Thank you. Well, yeah. All right, throwbacks of notes, guys.
What else is
this
going
week?
On that we need to know about? Mubs, what are you
sitting on
over there?
Kim Jong-un's half-brother was killed recently, right?
By the South Koreans?
Well, at this stage, there's fingers being pointed at a couple of people. But first, Kim Jong-un, half-brother's name. Anybody would like to...
Kim Jong-luk.
All right, we've got a look.
Jong Long-in.
We've got a Long-in. Long-in?
Yeah.
Long-in for John?
In John Kum.
Wow, all right. Yeah.
No, Kim is the first name.
Yes, because remember, Kim Jong-un's father, Kim Jong-il, or was it Sun?
No, Kim Jong-il.
All right, so Kim Jong-il, the father, then there's Kim Jong-un, which, you know, is the beloved North Korean dictator.
Grandfather, Kim Il-sung.
Kim Il-sung. Half-brother who's just been killed, Kim Jong-nam. Okay, it's a nam. And two Asian women are suspected of the murder of Kim Jong-nam. This is according to South Korea's intelligence committee.
No.
Investigators are awaiting the result of an autopsy on the body of Kim Jong-nam, but he is believed to have been poisoned at Kuala Lumpur International Airport.
Oh, wow. Oh. Poisoned?
Yes. According to some reports, he died after he was sprayed in the face with a chemical. U.S. sources have stated that a fountain pen may have been used to spray the poison, which is a technique that has been used by North Korea before. So these two Asian women who were caught on CCTV, they are being pointed as the suspects. But, you know, other news reports have not completely ruled out the possibility that his own half-brother, Kim Jong-un, could be behind Nam's murder.
Oh. Listen, Kim Jong-un has killed a bunch of his family members. He's killed uncles and aunts, and he's had people shot with cannons and firing squads.
And he has the power to do so over a message.
But why would he go to all the trouble of doing it at Kuala Lumpur? It's not even in North Korea.
Oh, well, I mean, you can send the henchmen. Because his 46-year-old brother, Kim Jong-nam, he had previously called Un's regime a joke. And everybody knows you do not insult the little big man.
No.
You don't. The little big man will have you assassinated if you say anything that he doesn't like.
I kill you. I am spoiled fat child.
After he was sprayed in his face with this chemical, they tried to rush him to hospital, but he died on the way to hospital after the attack.
Suck a muck of this.
Yeah. The CCTV image of these two women who are now considered suspects, right?
Mm-hmm.
There are also reports that the taxi driver who took the women away after the alleged attack from the airport has now also been arrested. But the two women are still at large. So they're trying to find the two women. They've arrested the taxi driver who drove the women away.
Yeah.
But there are also people saying, yeah, but can we have a look at his half-brother? He might be responsible for this because he insulted Kim Jong-un's regime.
That place just seems like it just is another world.
Yeah.
They have different rules. You know, Kim Jong-un makes all the rules. He's got money. He's got power. He's got palaces. But his people are just horribly unhappy.
Including his own family.
His own family. He has to kill them off.
Oh, man, this is a sibling rivalry gone horribly wrong.
Yeah.
So it was believed that Kim Jong-nam...
Now, who's Kim Jong-nam?
No, sorry, Kim Jong-nam.
Oh.
All right.
Okay, Nam is Un's half-brother.
Half-brother, the eldest son. Yeah. It was believed that he would go on to be the leader of North Korea following the death of their father, as he is the eldest. However, the power went to Jong-un, and Jong-nam then went into exile. And he's been involved in a number of botched assassination attempts in the past. Back in 2011, North Korean spies reportedly tried to kill Jong-nam, but it ended in a shootout between the spies and his bodyguards. So his brother has been trying to take him out for quite some time now.
I mean, you know, I get sibling rivalry, but this is ridiculous. This is insane.
Wow.
And he was just 46 years old.
I ate my brother!
Yeah, you did.
I ate my brother!
Jong-nam.
You killed him.
So, sorry, can I just try to understand this North Korean vibe? So, Kim is the surname.
Yeah.
And the surname goes first.
Yeah.
What is Jung?
That's because he has a very small penis.
Okay, so just Kim.
As opposed to Long?
Just Jung. Kim is the surname, not Kim Jong, because they're all named Kim Jong something.
My Korean name, I've never spoken about this before.
Oh.
I've never spoken
before. You know why? Because one day you're a Jamaican, then you're black, and now today you're Korean. North Korean.
Look.
You are holding too much away from us, Gareth. Come out with it already.
My North Korean name is Titlo Han.
Oh, okay.
So,
please explain.
Tit is the surname.
Ah, okay.
Lo, because my balls hang low, and Han, because I can't remember. I think that was my parents trying to create.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Tit Kun Yam and Titlo Sun. Those are my parents.
Ah, okay. Okay.
You know, I can't wait for the day we get into your Latina roots.
No, I don't think I have those.
Sofia Vergara's an eighth cousin.
I don't want to sound like I'm making this up.
Sure, okay.
Let's not push the boundaries here.
I don't know if you guys managed to catch, because there were some pictures being circulated around social media yesterday with regards to what that tropical storm Dineo did in Mozambique, right?
My God, it's violent. They were coming for us.
Yeah, I mean, electricity poles were blown over, buildings were destroyed, homes were flooded, and when it hit Mozambique, it had been upgraded to a Category 4 storm. But remember, Dineo is coming this way, hey? She's coming for us.
200 kilometer hour winds.
Now, yesterday I was telling you about how they said KZN, Limpopo, and Mpumalanga are at the highest risk of Dineo's wrath.
Mm-hmm.
And they say that we should expect to start seeing, the storm pull through today and then tomorrow and then possibly lasting throughout the weekend as well.
Unbelievable
indeed.
Sure.
So would you like to go through some safety checks that the Weather Service has kindly released or made available for us with regards to how we're supposed to behave in a storm?
Right, let's do this.
So, run down the street screaming?
That's not really going to help you, Sia.
Crawl into the fetal position and suck your thumb?
That's also not really going to help you.
Okay, then I don't know.
So there is a chance of it bringing heavy, heavy rainfall and or flooding to some northeastern regions of South Africa between today and the weekend. KwaZulu-Natal disaster management teams are said to be leaving nothing to chance. Limpopo and Mpumalanga are also on high alert. So here are some tips. You need to delay your traveling if possible until the heavy storm has subsided. So, I don't know, if you were planning some long weekend trip starting today because you need to drive for 4 or 5 hours, don't. Delay your traveling if possible. That's the first tip.
What, were you going to Maputo?
Well, no, I just realized I'm going to Magaliesburg this weekend.
Oh.
Where's...
No, you're fine.
Oh, okay. I was trying to find out the physical compass of... Magaliesburg. Okay.
Moral compass.
Compass, that's it.
Now, I'm sure a lot of us have been caught in some heavy rain before, heavy downpour. This is standard procedure. Pull over your vehicle, switch on your car's hazards, if visibility is really that poor. Uh-huh. Also take into consideration that roads will be slippery. So it is advised that you rather try and pull over somewhere, okay? Now, just 15 centimeters of moving water can knock you off your feet, while 60 centimeters deep can sweep a vehicle away.
Yeah. Wow. Well, we saw that at N1 not so long ago here in Joburg.
Here in Johannesburg. And how many times...
Just 60 centimeters,
Just 60 centimeters has enough strength to push your car away.
All right.
And how many times have you, have you heard the story of people approaching a low-lying bridge, it's flooded, and they think, I'll make it.
Yeah.
Next thing you know, your car dies.
And then, that's it.
Speaking of bridges, avoid crossing bridges when you're caught in a storm or roads next to rivers during the heavy rain, as flash flooding is a risk. If stuck on a flooded road, switch to the lowest possible gear and proceed slowly. Using your brakes suddenly may cause your car to skid or aquaplane.
Yeah, don't take a chance.
If you get trapped in your car during flooding, try and find a way to abandon it.
Yeah, right.
Just leave the car behind.
Goddamn car. And let the insurance worry about that. If you're not insured, though, take a chance. If you're not insured, do whatever you have to. I mean,
paddle.
Drive your car up a tree if you can. Do whatever you need to do.
And if you are in Limpopo, Mpumalanga, or KZN, let us know, you know, if really Dineo does cause some problems for you. Let us know how it's affected you.
Right. Mm. A lot of people are very nervous about this, Mops.
Yeah, Dineo, she's a problem.
Dineo's a disaster.
Here are just two messages quickly from Alistair, who says, Asian family names are the first things that you say in the name, so the family name or the surname. And then one of the girls who killed Kim Jong-un's brother was wearing a T-shirt that said LOL.
LOL.
How scary is that?
That is actually the picture that the media have been circulating around the country. Because the two women who are accused of killing him, they still haven't found them.
I see lots of interesting info coming in here on the tides. So lots of very high tides along the east coast of South Africa. And that's been sent in by, who is this? Massive rain coming this week starting Sunday, but Monday to Wednesday next week are going to be big. The Vaal is going to be high up. All the blue big numbers flooding, I reckon. And I can't tell who that's from because they haven't signed it. Maputo is fine. That shit is 700 kilometers from here, Venant. So Venant is in Maputo at the moment. He says it's okay over there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it hasn't hit yet. It's still coming in some places. It's moving inland. So as I understand it, what do I know about storms? All I know is this one is they're warning about it. And they normally don't they go, it's in the weather, don't worry. This was in the news. You know they mean business when they put it in the main news.
Oh.
It's not fake news either.
Yeah, well,
it doesn't require an opinion. It just is. All right. Anything else you want to tell us about?
Well, just that, you know, Trevor Noah is going to be coming home for a tour in August.
Yes.
Tickets are apparently going to go on sale later on this month.
I knew it.
They're telling us about this now?
Yes.
And so he's only coming in August?
He's only coming in August.
But that gives him 6 months to cancel.
I knew it had to have a figure attached to it, because it's not just coming home to visit and say hello.
Noah. Okay.
He's going to be performing at the Ticket Pro Dome on Thursday the 10th and Friday the 11th of August 2017. Tickets go on sale 20th of February. They don't give the price of the tickets here because, this is the thing is, you know, Trevor can now charge you a heck of a lot more money than what he used to be able to charge you.
Trevor, he may be your friend from the old days. You may have even driven in his taxi when he was a taxi driver. Trust me, he's going to charge like a wounded buffalo when he comes out here.
Yep. No!
Yes.
Why not? Of course he's going to.
No!
He will. Do you know what he earns for doing that show?
No.
A lot. No, really.
What?
He charges a lot of money. What is this? What are you, an idiot? Retarded? What's your problem?
Like it.
All right. Okay, so Trevor Noah's coming, and there's a storm coming, and you need to follow those rules, not cross low water bridges. Beware of Kim Jong-un, especially if you're related to him.
And people wearing LOL t-shirts.
Yeah. And those are the important things that you need to know this morning.
Oh, and a Nokia 3310 relaunch.
Yes, of course.
Of course.
It's a big deal.
Yeah.
Yes. Many people very excited about having the opportunity to own a Nokia 3310 again. Some people have never stopped owning a Nokia 3310. I know someone who's still got one of those. They never got a smartphone. They don't have any use for it.
Sort of like a paperweight or
something. They still type their SMSs. I promise you, they still get the SMSs with the buttons where your number 7 is P, Q, R, and S, and your 9 is W, X, Y, and Z. Do you remember how quickly you learned to do that?
Do you remember how big those batteries were?
Yeah, and they lasted for days. 7 days, and the goddamn thing would start saying to you, battery low. 7 days. Yes, those were some phones. Tell you what, you can do anything with those. All right, let's get cracking. We've got things to do. Here's something beautiful for you. Just, you know, in the wake of Valentine's Day, a little Anita Baker and Sweet Love for those people who are still feeling romantic. Take it away, Anita. What a voice this woman has. Over to you, honey.
CliffCentral.com.